Yo, welcome back to the podcast. To all the culture enthusiasts out there that support the channel, I want to say thank you. Now, before I get started, I want to go ahead and give a shout out to John Pops Witherspoon. For those of you that don't know, 10/29/19, he passed away, age of 77. If you guys aren't aware who that is, he's Craig's dad in the Friday series. He was also in Boondocks. He was in Boomerang. He was a couple other things, but I know he was most famously known for his role as Craig's dad in Friday. Like I said, we lost a comedy legend. He will forever, he is, always will be, and he'll always be remembered as a comedy legend. And he passed away at an early age of 77 on October 29th yesterday. So blessings and prayers go out to the Witherspoon family. John, thank you for the lifetime, and I mean the lifetime of entertainment that you gave us with your legacy and your life and your work and your artistry and your movies, because you have become, and you have etched yourself, and you've become a part of this culture. And you know, you're very famous for the things that you've done. And I want to say thank you for the entertainment that you provided to us. And, you know, blessings and good luck to you in the afterlife, and shouts out to your family and blessings to them as well. Now, with that much deserved intro, let's go ahead and dive into this episode. Well, before I get into today's topic, for those of you, October 30th, that's what today's date is, the Washington Nationals have won the World Series, beating out the Astros in Game 7, 6-2. It was a close, very, very close series as the Astros went up, the Nationals went up 2, and then Astros came back and went up 3-2, and then the Nationals being able to close out, win Game 6 and then win Game 7 on the road. First team in the 115th, this is the 115th World Series played, first team in history to win 4 road games on, you know, to win the World Series. So shouts out to them, they did it. Obviously, Harper right now sitting in the back wondering, like, what is he, you know, what did I do? It shouldn't have been that big of a difference, the money, because they were going to pay him to stay. But, you know, as it follows and it happens. So shouts out to the Washington Nationals. Another update that I just got, and I want to go ahead and touch on this because this is going to be altering. Steph Curry broke his hand, and they were getting smashed. I think it was like 76 or 72 to 46 at halftime by the Suns. So that just kind of shows the state that Golden State Warriors are in. It's not pretty, that's for sure. Definitely not pretty, but now we got those big news out of the way. I want to dive into today's topic. As you guys see from the title, I want to talk about the interview that took place with Big Boy, with Kanye West, in regards to Jesus is King, the album dropping. So I'm not sure if they were supposed to be talking about exclusively about the album dropping and things of that nature, but I can tell you that that's definitely not what they talked about. A lot of people, man, Kanye West has been in the news for years now. You know, he had a couple years back, he had he was in the hospital for mental breakdown and things like that. So stress, anxiety, you know, you name it, I'm sure that he suffered through it. The difficult part about that is that when, and he says it in the interview, but when you're on that level of, whether it's, you know, you're famous for putting out movies or music or whatever, I think that there's a different type of stress, a different type of pressure, a different type of outlook, and a different expectation just in general for that, living that lifestyle, or even on yourself, because you have a lot of eyes on you at this point. I mean, a lot of eyes on you. And it really is sad that he had to go through all these things. But, you know, through people's tribulations comes triumph and comes great stories. And, you know, God does use a lot of people in this manner. And very rarely do we get to hear their story or see it play out. And that's exactly what we get to do with Kanye. Very famous figure. He's been in the music industry for about 15 years, at least, you know, rapping or whatnot. And we got to see pretty much him lose his mind, you know, with the paparazzi and being upset that they're following him, and then Obviously, his wife getting burglarized and them getting that close to his family, like now being able to touch his family, obviously made him feel some type of way. And he, you know, he had a mental breakdown. And a lot of people were wondering if he was going to bounce back from it. He, you know, pretty much turned his back on the Democrats and started supporting Donald Trump, and people didn't like that. Now, diving into the interview, a couple of things I like that Kanye West did was almost immediately he addressed some of the issues, or one of the big issues that he had a couple years back, and not even a couple years back, I guess through his career. And he said that he got caught up in his own ego. He got caught up in his own ego. And for everybody that knows Kanye West, they know that Kanye was feeling himself for years. And he held himself to a very high standard. And, you know, he made his mistakes. And when you're famous like that, your mistakes obviously show or seep through the page, and you get to see everything. So it plays out in front of all of our eyes. But shouts out to Kanye, man, for sticking to the shit that sticking to who he is and what he believes in. Because like real talk, a lot of people would be doing some crazy ass shit. And then, when you're no longer acceptable, now it's called cancel culture. When you get canceled, you switch up. You're like, all right, how do I get back in the spotlight? Whoop de whoop. And he didn't do that. He stuck to his shit. Everybody said he was crazy and did all this and that. And he kept it the way he was. And then he came out with his album, Found God Again. There's interview. In that interview, Big Boi played something that was probably from 10 years ago, where he was saying that he was a Christian, and he in 10 years he saw himself doing God's work and things of that nature. So it was cool to see that. And then you look at a song like Jesus Walks. Jesus Walks was a powerful song, and you know, I was surprised that one got radio play, but you could see that this was in the man's music from an early point in his music career. And you know, a lot of things have happened in his life since then. Obviously, he's gotten more famous. He's gone in debt. He started a company. Obviously, that put him in debt. His mom passed away, unfortunately. You know, so there's a lot of things that played out in his life that were altering for sure. And again, it plays out in our eyes, so we get to see it. But I liked it. I liked the fact that he said that, or he admitted to the fact that he got caught in his own ego. Then he said that he just let go. He said, I let God take control. I just let go. And it is impressive. For the interview is impressive for a couple of things, not just because you got an idea of where Kanye West is mentally right now, but it also gives you an insight of the things that he was going through that he wouldn't really talk about. Like the things that we all know that he tweeted like crazy, and no one knew like where these tweets were coming from or where he was at. You know, we all knew that he hadn't taken his medication and things like that, but we were very easy to dismiss people. And he kept saying, man, I was cancel culture before they even came up with the term, before there was even a cancel culture. And you take that all the way back to George Bush hates black people, with Mike Myers shocking everybody. And, you know, and it's true. He got dismissed. He's done a lot of things in his life. You take that, obviously the whole Taylor Swift thing, and you know, it's just a lot of things that he's done, and everybody, a lot of people, I shouldn't say everybody, a lot of people don't approve of. But yet, you know, here he is, 2019, Jesus is King, made a gospel album. A gospel rap album, I guess. And it's good. If you guys haven't heard it, it's good. I like, there's a couple songs, there's a couple phrases that I like. You know, they'd be the first ones to judge me. I like that. He's talking about Christians in that sense. But Kanye West in the last 2 years has become relatable. Relatable to you and I, relatable to everyday man, human being, don't matter. He says this and it's true. You know, he went through debt. We got to see his political views play out. We got to see people pretty much bully him into trying to persuade him to think back to think a different way, because he was thinking differently. And all he kept saying, he kept using words like, you know, just cast a wider net to use me. That's what God was doing. And, you know, he was relatable because of his thoughts, opinions, political views, debts, all that played into it. It's true. That's 100% true. And then the fact that they say that he's turning his back on the culture, that was one of the biggest things. That was one of the, when Big Boy asked him that, I was like, okay, what is he going to say? Because that is a big thing that's been out there for a while. He's turning his back on the culture. And I like his opinion. He said, what's the culture? We are orphans, cultureless. What's the culture? He says. We signed to culture vultures. You sign your life away, obviously, with that contract, and they're making money off of you. He said, the culture was what? Taking a knee, social media, high fashion, foreigns. But none of those are owned by our culture. Minority is what he's talking about. Minorities. Anyone in minority can relate. A minority, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there, minorities, can relate. And he says, so what does it mean for the culture? And that's why he does it for Christ. Because he doesn't know. What does it mean? Do it for the culture. It's true. I like this answer. You turn your back on this. You've been brainwashed, is what he's saying. You've been brainwashed to think this way, to think that you got to take him. And he says that in another part. We're in America. America's for sale. Go buy land. Disney's bought a bunch of land. Instead, you're over here trying to ice out, buy foreigns and do this and whoop-de-woo, and you ain't getting nowhere. And it's true. It's true. A lot of people out there right now have a way of thinking to the simple question is, what is success to you? And because hip hop has played has been very influential, even in my life. But a lot of people, my generation, older generation, younger generation, especially now in the younger generation, what success is and what success looks like. My little brother, what's success? Oh man, I'm balling out. I got my own house. I got a nice whip. I got, you know, and that's true. We saw this a couple years back with a Lil Pump and the whole J. Cole beef. You know, Lil Pump was making music that the kids want to hear. And he wasn't necessarily making music like J. Cole's a lyricist, obviously, but J. Cole wasn't putting out any club songs, you know. I'm a big J. Cole fan. I can't stand Lil Pump. But that's where Lil Pump's mentality came from. And so he was smart enough to play that on social media that I'm better than J. Cole. He didn't say I'm a better rapper. He said I'm better than J. Cole. And a lot of interviews that I watched emphasized on that. It's true. He didn't say it. He didn't say that he's better than rapping than J. Cole. He just said he's better. And he was, you know, selling records and people, you know, whatever. He was making money. But J. Cole's like, yo, save that money, man. Them jewels ain't gonna last forever. Your music falls off. Your fans leave. What happens? And it's true. What's success? Success to a dude like Lil Pump is diamonds, cars, you know, obviously you houses or house, a big ass house. I don't know. No one ain't talking, you know, no one's going to go out there and rap about, oh, you know, went double platinum on a Tuesday, Wednesday, put it in an IRA. You know, no one's saying that shit. No one's rapping about that kind of shit, yo. And that's the truth though. That's what it is. That's where a lot of people listening to hip hop envision what the culture is. And that's the influence it plays. A vision, goals. And that's everyone said that's a goals for everything. Relationship goals, life goals. And social media has been a big impact. It has a big impact on it. It's been the main contributor, Instagram especially. Think about it. Even the last 5 years, 4 years, how big Instagram has gotten. You know, remember there was so much things out there? There was Vine, obviously, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. There was other things, I think, that were similar to all those. Where are they at? They're gone. Facebook got a grip of everything, and they got Instagram, Facebook. Snapchat's doing their thing, but it's crazy. So where do we get our influence on culture? Where do we get our idea of what culture is? ain't from the textbooks, but it's definitely from what we see. And they're marketing perfectly to perfection. And I think that's what Kanye was trying to touch on in a deeper look into it. You know, you watch him implode, as a lot of people would say, and you think, okay, yeah, now this guy's done. He's washed up. He wilding out because he can't make music anymore. He got ghostwriters and he's falling off. And so he don't know what to do. He don't know how to act and whatever. I don't know, man. I'll tell you this. I've been a Christian for most of my life. Just the impact I've seen from this album dropping from people on social media. Like this is just within my circle. There's a movement where they recognize the impact that Kanye West has and this album has, whether they've said this album is dope or whether they said that whether I found out that for the first time these friends of mine or the friends of friends or what acquaintance, whatever, are Christians. And that's influential by an album that Kanye West did. One of the biggest names in hip hop drops a gospel album. He's okay with labeling a gospel album. He didn't label that, but people are saying he's not correct. And he said, I'm fine with it. You got everyone coming out saying, yo, we need this. This is what hip hop needs. This is what it is. This is my beliefs. You know, this, that, whatever. That alone just goes to show you the influence that someone has, whether they were rapping about hoes and like same thing. Like Kanye West was saying, you're such a fucking hoe. I love it. Devil music is what he called it. Those are his words. And then he said that he turned it all around and he acknowledges the fact that he was doing that and that he was working for the devil at the time. Now he's on a break. He says, I'm taking a break. He tells the devil. But just goes to show you the influence just within my circle, like I was saying. And then he made the comparison of Kobe Bryant winning 5 rings. I like this part because he made the comparison. He said, Kobe Bryant winning 5 rings. He said, I'm playing a mental sport to that same level. So anytime Kobe Bryant hurt his leg, that's my mental health. They ain't talking about when he hurt his leg. They're talking about the things that he's accomplished. He said, with me, I have mental health, and that's all they're focusing on is, quote unquote, his leg injury, as opposed to his championships, which would be his resume. The comparison, you know, just goes to show the genius, even in something like that. The analogy that he makes with Kobe Bryant, and especially Kobe Bryant, because you know, he was in LA for that, but Kobe Bryant is everywhere right now. I mean, he's retired, but he's everywhere and he's very influential still. Going back to I digressed a little bit. Going back to what I was saying, I've been Christian most of my life, and to have someone that have this kind of impact is very rare. There was a point in the, I want to say, closing out the 90s, not 99, not quite there, but it was closing out the 90s. Kirk Franklin, that was the first time I ever heard him. And I heard him on this. There was this thing. This is how old school it is. I'm going to date myself. That was on local TV called The Box. And what it was is you would call in and it would be almost like a TV guide, right? Of songs. You'd call in, request the number, whatnot, and you would have to pay by credit card. Or they would charge your phone line. I don't know. I never did it. We were broke and I would get my ass beat if I did anything like that. But I want to say it was either by credit card or they would probably just charge it to your phone bill. I think that one's more reasonable and they were trying to get away with that. But you would do that. And that was the first time I saw Kirk Franklin. And remember, this is all by request. So you can watch this all day and I would see Kirk Franklin a lot. Do you want a revolution? Ooh, ooh. I said, do you want a revolution? Come on. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, and I was like, oh yeah, I like this. You know what I mean? Stomp. That was another one he can't win. And I would just hear it. And it would like, that was the first time I had ever seen it really break into the mainstream. I'd never really seen the two collide. And that was the first time I had ever really seen it break through. And then another example I have, obviously, is the Kanye West Jesus Walks. That was another big one because that was in hip-hop, same genre, but was when Carrie Underwood came out with Jesus Take the Wheel. Now, by no means is she, a gospel singer or a Christian country singer or whatever, but it was a big name or up-and-coming star releasing that kind of song that got a lot of airplay, a lot of publicity, and again, Jesus' name was back in the mainstream. And there's very few instances. I name those because there are very few instances where that is a commonality. And then now, like, you fast forward, and I'm not talking about interviews, but I'm talking about in the music. The next time that I can recall it being a crossover, Chance 3. Like, legit, Chance 3, Sunday Candy, with the social experiment that he did. And then even in his music as he's going on. His whole Coloring Book album, his Coloring Book mixtape. He didn't want to label it a gospel album, but you know what? There's a lot of good songs on there that were glory being given to God. And it's crazy, right? Because a lot of Christians look at it and say, well, he has no problems and he's cursing and he's doing this and that. You know, we all do something, right? Whether we curse, whether we lust, whether we commit adultery, whether we speed, whether we lie, whatever it is, we all do something. Now, you want to take a man like Chance and really break him down. He had mistakes, but that was another crossover, and he is big even right now. And I think, you know, he believes that meeting Kanye West was a good thing for him. I think it goes both ways. I think Kanye West was inspired by Chance, saw it and said, look at this man. No label, independent. Yeah, he got a couple people say that they'll help him with his album and they'll pay him money, but he ain't signed to him. He's going against the grain and he's making music. Like, that's inspirational. And then the impact that he has, less marketing, things of that nature. And he's putting these songs. I'm like, who ain't trying to get on a song with Chance right now? You know what I mean? Like, legit, who ain't trying to get on? So the crossover is very rare. And I like seeing it. And then now, you know, you have Kanye West, who is not fully crossed over in terms of this album. Yes. Right, but not fully crossed over as like, this is who I am. There's not enough time. He says that he's done. They asked him, they said, what's in the catalog? Big Boy asked him, if I go to a Kanye West concert, am I going to hear old Kanye, the one that we say we miss? What's in the catalog? Are we going to hear Can't Tell Me Nothing? You know, things like that. He said, ooh, what did he say? This was a good one too. He said, are you going to the store trying to buy an iPod 4? He said, nah, you want the new thing. You're trying to buy an iPod 4. So he's saying, you know what I mean? Like, touching on, this is who I am and this is what it's going to be at my concerts. Again, let's see how much time passes by. And not that I'm doubting, and by no means, because this is a significant thing in its own. The fact that he is going on air. He went with James Corden with the Airpool karaoke, and he got to see Sunday Service, the choir, and you could see, like, he was just basking. He loved it all, right? And he looked like he was in church. Now you go over to the interview with Big Boy, and his whole thing was, God, glory be to God. Glory be to God. God did this. God worked through me. God's showing off, because he said, And my company is the most searched company on Google. That's Yeezy. But $3 billion, he said, is what it's worth. He said, because that's what he was offered. So he's probably guessing it's worth $6 billion. He said, and I'm in debt. He said, but God used that to something about $110 million. He made $110 million last year. And he was in debt like $30 million or something like that. And then he got a tax return for $68 million. So he was just showing like this is what when I was wilding, I put in debt. And then I turned it all over to God. And what happens? God repays me the favor. $68 million in my bank account. And all he needed to see was my trust. Pretty much is what, you know, I've heard a lot of testimonials, and it seems like just put your faith and trust in God. And once you finally 100 turn it over to him, and just give it to him, that's when you see the change. Because God knows your heart, and God knows if you're 100 or you're just, you know, you want the smoke, pretty much. And it was a very powerful interview. I could dissect it and break it down. I wanted to do that, but, you know, being that we're almost 25 minutes into it, it's one of those things that's hard, because if I do that, how long is this podcast going to be? I don't know, man. Going back to one of the things he said, because I got this in my notes and I want to touch on it. The whole culture, when he says, what is the culture? What does it mean? Because remember, he says, we're orphans. We're cultureless. Big Boy asked him, he said, yeah, but this is in terms of the culture, but people ask him, like, what happens when they say you're training black on black people? He said, absolutely. He said, 100%. His back, he's turning his back on the idea of victimization, the victimization mentality, sorry. And that goes back to what he was saying in terms of taking a knee, social media, high fashion, foreigns, all that is not owned by the culture. It's associated with the white man and this and that, blah, 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 to the point where that is no culture, just culture vultures. And so he was saying, yeah, 100%, I turn my back to that idea, to that, not lifestyle, but we'll just stick with idea, to that persona, I turn my back on it. So if you're saying I'm turning my back on black people because I'm turning my back on this, then the answer is yes. And I'm hoping they don't twist that. That's why I want to clarify that. Because I don't think he's turning it back on, you know, the culture or anything, but he does say the culture is brainwashed. He said, if you're asleep and you wake up, you knew you were just asleep, right? He goes, yeah. He goes, I wake up and you know you just woke up, right? He goes, yeah. He said, would you agree that those are two different mind states? He said, yeah. And he goes, well, there you go. Because Big Boy asked him, what do you say to people that are saying, oh, this is just, there's no way that a year or two ago Kanye was this way and he switched up and now he's all about God. Like, that ain't real. And his response was, if you ain't about God, you're sleeping. You're the walking dead right now. He said, I'm awake and I know the truth. I've given myself 100. He said, I fear and love God only. Jesus has won the victory. You hear what I just said? I fear God. I fear and love God. Jesus has won the victory. These are words coming out of Kanye West's mouth on an interview with Big Boy. Let me see how many views that's already gotten, because I'm sure it's a good number. As of right now, it looks like 2.3 million. And that's crazy. But that's big. Because he's all about love right now and positivity. And that's what he's trying to spread out. Love Jesus. Love God. Give it back to him. They asked him about a regular night. This was James Corden. He said, we eat dinner, put the kids to bed. We lay in bed. Wife watches Dateline. I read the Bible. James is like, you read the Bible? He's like, yeah. And if you want to get enlightenment, if you want to get fulfilled, if you want to get fed, you ain't just going to church one day a week. You got to read scripture. You got to brush up on that. And he included scripture in Salah, the song in Jesus is King. He included scripture in that. He says, John 8:3-3, we the descendants of Abraham, ye should be made free. John 8:3-6, to whom the Son set free is free indeed. He saved a wretch like me. And then the hallelujahs come in. That's powerful stuff right there. Before the flood, people judge, he said. That's crazy. I don't know, man. I'll tell you this, though. I've been a Kanye West fan a long time. A lot of people judge him for his craziness and the things that he did and the way that he's been wilding and acting the last couple of years. But you got to understand that you don't, there's no way you just switch up like that in terms of you're fine and then you just switch up. We got to stop. We got to take the music and the entertainment part out of an individual and just look at that individual and say, yo, what's going on with him? Like, how can we help? Like, what? Like, legit, what's going on with him? Maybe he needs this. Maybe he needs that. Because I'll tell you, this game ain't built for everybody. Is not built for everybody. That just goes to show you how people wrestle with demons every day. Kanye was just being Kanye and letting us all see it. But how many people are very private and can't take that criticism and that bullying to where they don't say nothing? So we don't ever, and it's not about seeing it play out. It's not for our entertainment, but I think that you need to live it and play it out in your own life in order to grow and prosper from that and learn from it. And that's where God takes you. And that's what he was saying. I had to go through it. I became relatable But God was showing off because he wanted people to be able to understand that someone like me, untouchable, goes through the same things that you guys do. And I was down here and he brought me back up. Now, I know a lot of, and I know the internet's going to go in and say things like, yo, you were never down there. You're a celebrity and this and that and whatever. Listen, everybody goes through stuff. And you're telling me if you have $300 and you are broke, you're freaking out. You're like, what am I going to do? My bills are due, whoop-dee-whoop, whatever. But imagine the stress of having $14-15 million and then going broke. See what I mean? Like, just because he has money doesn't mean that he's not impacted by things like that. And he went bankrupt. Now he goes broke. Who's it affect more? A guy who lives in the apartment not making $300, but that lost $300, let's say gambling or whatever. Or the guy who has mansions and this and that and that, going broke. Yeah, I know you could sell that stuff and make some money back and whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the anxiety. Look at it from a mind state. If you're $300 and you lose it, you figure that shit out because your lifestyle isn't rich enough to warrant any kind of real panic. Cause you're like, look, I got this bill, do that bill. You know what I'm saying? I got whatever. I'm going to sell this. I'm going to sell that. And let's say you sell your PlayStation 4 and you sell, I don't know, you sell some Jordans, right? You make $200 back, $220 back, $300. See what I'm saying? Though there's that hustle. There's that still. And you're fine because you only need to recoup a little bit of amount. Now imagine someone who loses all that and they have all this other stuff. What are they going to do in terms of bills and everything? So I'm not saying sympathize for rich, but I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that the mind state of somebody who makes money and then all of a sudden goes broke, I think affects people who are used to living broke and, you know, staying broke in retrospect. Because, yo, a lot of people that listen to this podcast, I'm sure have been there where, you know, you're down there and this and that, but that's where our hustle comes from. That's what you got to understand. That's where that hustle comes from. You know what it's like to be there. You know what the feeling, and a lot of us have kids now, right? And you're trying to say, you know, oh, I want my kid to do better, or I want my kid to have a better life. It ain't just about that, though. It's about them seeing. You don't want them to see that in terms of within yourself. Like me, personally, broke, man. I'm telling you right now, we grew up broke, bad. I had a lot of good people around me that I didn't get a chance to thank. You know, people come in and out of your life as you grow up and stuff like that. And there was a lot of people that impacted mine that don't even know. And, you know, might not ever know because, you know, I don't talk to a lot of people. But I'll tell you this, like with my son, it ain't just about I want to give him a better life. I don't want him to see us suffer. So everything I do, everything my lady does, everything we do as a unit is to provide for our kid. Now, she grew up a little bit different than I did. She didn't have the same struggles that I did. But I'll tell you this, she's as humble as I am. And that's the greatest thing that you can ask for in trying to raise a family. When you come from humble beginnings, to have someone that lives the opposite of that in terms of where you are in life, but shares that mentality, shares that humbleness, shares that awareness, you can build off of that. And it's easy to do it. And then when it comes to kids, it's like, you know what? We want them to, carve their path, but we also want to make sure that we are good to take care of them because that's why we had them. And that's all a parent wants, to be able to take care of their kids the right way. And Kanye, man, I'll tell you, like, he has four kids married to Kim Kardashian, one of the biggest female celebrities out there. Not even female. I'm going to take that word out because we're 2019. One of the biggest celebrities out there. And that West family, man, is very, West Kim or Kardashian family is very in the paparazzi, in the spotlight, in the tabloids and the blogs and all that stuff. So anytime they're going through struggles, they go through it. And Kanye is one of those guys that I said before. He shows it, man. He shows it. But that stress does get to people. And we saw it with Kanye, man. He broke down and all we did was, yo, what's up with your boy? That's what we are as a society. And these are the same people that he's supposed to be, you know, rooting for or moving alongside. Because they say, why are you turning your back on the culture? These are the same people, the same folks that bashed him when he was down. He's supposed to forgive and forget, come back and say, yo, we running or what? We rolling or what? And they're like, yeah, let's go. And that's not what it's like. He came back. He's like, listen, I found God, man. Finally found God. I was afraid to talk to him. I want to talk to God, but I'm afraid because we ain't spoken so long. Nah, not anymore. You hear when he spits it in the karaoke, he even says, I want to talk to God. I ain't afraid no more. Yo, you hear me? He ain't, you hear me? Because he's got that relationship. I ain't afraid no more. That's some powerful stuff, man. And this album is very powerful. It's gonna reach a lot of people. It's gonna reach a lot of people, make people really think, even if it's for that second. Like, how many people do you think are gonna get saved because of this album? Or at least have that awareness? That's a legit question. You know, hit us up on social media. Let us know what you think. Maybe I'll put a poll out or something like on Instagram or Twitter or something to say how many people. But I really do want to know your guys' opinion. How many people do you think are going to be influenced, impacted in a big way, like being saved because of this? Or maybe just turn back towards God like Kanye did. You know what? I haven't been to church and, you know, whoop-de-woo, I'm going to go back. And then just start a revival. You know what I'm saying? Like, just have that passion grow in you again. And then you just, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just ride 100 for God, for Jesus, like Kanye is doing right now. And, you know, I haven't even really looked at, see what some of these comments are saying about it. But you know they ain't all positive. Internet's undefeated. So you know that they're going in on him saying, yo, let's see, he sounds like a normal guy in a crazy world. Don't know what anyone else, but I feel like the Kanye I've been waiting for. See, these are positive comments. Social media is doing more to hurt families than to help families. So true. That's what he said. That's true. I mean, yeah, that is true. The most racist thing a person can tell me is that I'm supposed to choose something based on my race. Yo, let me tell you that again. The most racist thing a person could tell me, I'm supposed to choose something based on my race. He was saying that in terms of the culture. He was saying that in terms of, you know, voting Democrat. He said, last year they told me I got to vote Democrat because I'm black. This year they're telling me I got to vote Democrat because I'm a Christian. Like, it's true, man. Kanye had a lot of, man, there's a lot of quotes to take from this. When people say they have their own relationship with Christ, it's because they know they're dealing with sins they don't want to have to repent for. Yo, facts, man. I'll tell you right now. How many times do we alter things so they suit us? Right? Well, my God wants this and my God told me, no. We cuss. Is that right? No. But we alter it in our heads to be okay. It's my God. I mean, I serve my God. Sometimes that's passion. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it, I don't know. It is what it is, though. We do alter what we want God to be. What is with whatever. After Kanye is gone, Jesus will still be king. That's what someone said. How do you deal with the enoughs? I done had enough. Man, it's powerful stuff. Like, for anyone, I think I'm gonna link this video onto this podcast so y'all can check it out if you guys haven't seen it yet. Because, man, I'll tell you right now, this is the Bible Belt. We are free to worship Jesus. Whew. And this guy said, Kanye is the quote-unquote crazy guy in the movies that no one listens to but ends up being right. When you remove the fear and love for God, you create the fear and love for everything else. Yo, who told you you can't have your own thoughts? We don't have a culture. We are culture-less, straight facts, fires, and flames. Yo, go check out this video, man. A Big Boy in the Morning interview. Go check out the Airpool Karaoke with James Corden, because I think those two will give you an insight of where Kanye West is. Shouts out Kanye West, man. Supporting the album. I've been bumping it since it's come out. 100% on board with what you're doing. Keep that up, man. Like you're an inspiration to a lot of people. You're going to change a lot of people's lives. The fact that you're blocking out the noise is amazing. Keep that up. Stay on the side of God. Keep walking with Jesus. Keep having him right there. Holy Ghost, living and breathing right next to you. And you're going to continue this path, my man. Like, I really do like it. Anyone that says otherwise, hit me on all the social media stuff. Like I said, I want to hear what you guys think, your opinions, things like that. I just wanted to get this out of the way because it's some powerful stuff. Again, I started the episode with saying rest in peace to John Pops Witherspoon. Rest in peace to him. Blessings go out to his family. He's a legend in comedy, man. He's very inspirational. He's done a lot for the culture. So, you know, shouts out to him. Everyone else, Kanye West, keep it up, man. We'll talk again.
Thank you for listening.